Hi, this is Chad. I'm so glad to be part of your journey towards product mastery so you can develop better products for your customers and those products that your customers will love. Now, I am interviewing speakers at my favorite annual conference for product managers. That's the PDMA Inspire Innovation Conference. We happen to be in New Orleans, Louisiana right now. And this discussion is with Marlon Hernandez, whose session is titled Beyond the Pint Glass: Learnings from Creating the New Molson Coors Non-Alcoholic Portfolio. After over 233 years of brewing beer, Molson Coors announced its name change to Molson Coors Beverage Company to reflect its growing focus on beverages outside of the traditional beer offers. A successful market entry strategy in the non-alcoholic space was one of the critical pillars of the transformational journey into a beverage company. We'll hear more about the details of that for sure. Marlon will share with us the process of defining, shaping, and building this new portfolio, and how the PDMA, the conference we're at, the PDMA body of knowledge helped him during the process. Marlon has held different innovation roles at Molson Coors Beverage Company and now serves as the Director Innovation Americas. Also, this episode is sponsored by PDMA. That's the Product Development Management Association. We're at their conference now. PDMA is a global community of professional members whose skills, expertise, and experience power the most recognized and respected innovative companies in the world. PDMA is also the longest-running professional association for product managers, leaders, and innovators, having started in 1976 and contributing research and knowledge to our discipline for nearly 50 years now. I've enjoyed being a member of PDMA for more than a decade, almost two decades, I think, at this point, and the resources and network have been really valuable to me. If you want to find out more about PDMA yourself, simply go to pdma.org. Also, listeners, as a reminder, we do make written show notes of everything we discuss. So we'll have a written summary of all the details of our discussion. And we also make a one-page action guide. That's a great guide to have use as a discussion if you want to have a group of people come and discuss our topics about portfolio development. You'll find those resources at productmasterynow.com/479. Marlon, thanks for joining us for the interview.
Thank you for having me here, Chad. Really excited about it.
Live at the conference.
Live at the conference. This is an amazing space to change and exchange ideas about innovation.
We get to interact with such great people here. So my history with Coors, I don't like beer, but we're in other things too, and you're doing other parts of the portfolio. But when I was, I think, 10 years old, my mom and dad took me, where I'm in Colorado,
of course,
took me up to Golden to Coors, so I could sample the, no, I wasn't
sampling beers.
but to go on the tour, right?
Yes.
And so I'm the little kid. And so when you get to the end of the tour, there is a tasting room. Obviously, I did not partake. But I was just fascinated with just the machinery of seeing how things go. The bottles start showing up on the line and they get filled. And just the machinery is fascinating to me. And I suspect I've been dragging my kids as they've been growing up to factory tours. And probably because of that influence, in large part, frankly.
Yeah.
So that's my personal association with Coors, is just I remember this factory tour that was pretty amazing to me. So now we're thinking about this portfolio of non-alcoholic beverages, and you've been the driver behind this. Can you just tell us what was going on from the customer demand market shift space? Why did Molson Coors decide to go after this portfolio?
That's a good question. And Chad, of course, you were living on the heart of the Coors history in some way, living in Denver, Colorado. So let's take back on why Molson Coors decided to expand beyond beer, right, on the journey. And Molson Coors has been brewing beer since 1786 with the Molson family in Canada. That's when we started in 1786. Adolf Coors, of course, starting brewing beers even before Colorado became a state in 1876. So he started brewing beer in 1873. Just to give you a little background there. And beer is and will continue to be one of the critical part of our portfolio and our history from beer perspective, of course. What happened right now, consumers are changing from behavior perspective right now in terms of preference. They're becoming more promiscuous, going to different beverage choices right now. And of course, as a Molson Coors, we're really a consumer-centric organization. We really recognize in 2019 the need to expand from beyond beer, and that's why we changed our name on that year to become a beverage company.
Okay.
And that was activated by the intersection of two things, consumer evolution and our distributors' evolution. Some of them already starting having product more than just beer. So when you have the intersection of those two and realizing that more than 60% of the beverage that is consumed in U.S., just to give an idea, is non-alcohol beverage, right? That triggered the need to ensure that we need to continue evolving. We need to evolve with consumers. And that's why we changed the name in 2019 from Molson Coors Brewing Company to Molson Coors Beverage Company. Uh-huh. And that was the trigger of the creation of the non-alcohol portfolio, which I have the pleasure to be leading that journey.
Okay. So, and since I'm not a beer drinker, don't know the space well, what was the market research showing you in terms of just that shift? Is it beer drinkers that wanted a healthier beverage in some sense that still tastes like beer, right? Maybe lower calories? What was the non-alcoholic aspect?
Yeah, that's a good question. So if you check the history, the combination of multiple factors that we have that have been triggered the change in behavior from consumer perspective, right? Number one intersection in 2008 is when you have more of the what they call the generation, the boomers drinkers, right? Mm-hmm. Just getting to that age that start more the journey in some decline of less preference to beer choices that were looking more better alternative versus beer for more different consumption occasion. That's one factor. The second one, the new generation of drinkers, they're really more aware what they're drinking, what is the value behind what they're drinking, right? Mm-hmm. From calorie perspective, nutritional elements right now. So they're more conscious and more aware. If you check even my kids right now, when I go to the supermarket with them, they already take the product and check the nutritional fat panel on the back. Right now, there's more conscious, more awareness what they're doing right now. Indeed, that's why they were looking more option about, okay, I love the taste of beer, but maybe I don't want to have alcohol in this moment.
Right.
Right. And that triggered the creation of non-alcohol beer option, of course, for consumers to go after. And others are more, you know what, based on the pace of life that I want, I don't really want to looking for energized. That's why you have the energy drink, one of the fastest growing in the category right now. And we realized that segment continued growing, and we Molson Coors realized that, you know what, we want to ensure where consumers going. Let's continue building that portfolio that we can meet where the consumer is. And that was the main driver of our activation to respond to those changes.
Yeah. This is why we need innovation, because consumer preferences change over time, right?
Yeah.
We get exposed to some new possibilities. I don't know if this is a fair analogy, but as you were describing that, I thought about the Beyond Meat, the Impossible Meat category. But as someone who likes a good hamburger or steak, right, that I've also have used that at times because of just still you get the same kind of flavor, similar texture experience, right, but from a plant-based food instead. And that makes sense to me if I'm looking for something that isn't actually meat, but still get to have
that taste of meat that you're looking for. In some way, that's what some consumers like it. Mm-hmm. For example, where we launched recently the Blue Moon non-alcohol, for example, just to give an idea. People love the taste of Blue Moon, but at some time, hey, I want to enjoy that taste, but I don't have the alcohol. How can I find the balance? Even though I'm in a alcohol drinking occasion, I want to have the same taste, but I want to have the alcohol to be more finding that balance. Because something where we learn from non-alcohol perspective, it's not that it means you only go and drink non-alcohol. Sometimes you're drinking alcohol and you want to mix with non-alcohol choice right now because you're more aware of the moment. You want to enjoy the moment. In this case, you're going to find that right balance for you based on what you're looking for. And you're absolutely right on that trend with the meat and beyond meat, for example. That's why we offer that option. We're going to give choices to consumers. I want to ensure that consumers have option to enjoy the life moment they are experiencing right now. So we want to be part of that conversation.
That makes sense, right? And if you're that social gathering after work, and maybe you're thinking about that early meeting the next morning, I need to be fresh for that meeting. I want to enjoy the beer, but not have the alcohol.
Yes.
Okay. So from a portfolio perspective, so a portfolio is a group of products that somehow are managing, balancing together. Can you just take us through how we got started with the portfolio? Was it planned out from the beginning? What would be part of this? Did we add to it over time? Where are we in that journey now, right? So if you can go back to the beginning and just help us understand, thinking a little bit about, okay, how do we structure this new portfolio?
Yes, that's a good question. Indeed, as a big fan of your podcast, I've been listening to your podcast for a while, and really I want to answer this question thinking on your audience, which is for me was more about get inspired, how do you challenge or tackle the situation you are right now based on the problem you're solving. So in my case, when I was assigned to build a non-alcohol portfolio, I took with the team kind of two approach. Number one, even though beer and non-alcohol seems to be the same thing, you're having a cans, you're having a drink, they are different consumer behavior right now, right? There is different regulation, different commercial practice right now. So a Molson Coors has been brewing beer for more than 200 years. However, we realized this first step for us was, okay, how we really accelerate our learning, our experience to learn more about this category, was about building the capabilities to learn about this space, right? Mm-hmm. And that's where we established and make an investment in a company called L Elevation, which is based in California, that is more of, it's an incubator, non-alcohol beverage, specialized in emerging drink, is emerging beverage space. So therefore, we partner with them. We make an equity investment with them to really accelerate our learning on that space, right? Because we want to really move with pace on that transformational journey. That was the first step for us, right? Okay. More a fast track learning process, right, for non-alcohol perspective. Because sometimes when you get into a new market space, don't go in the name of the Father, Holy Spirit to see that stick or not. So let's ensure you have a clear path to help you to learn about that space. Mm-hmm. That's number one. The number two, for me,
just to underscore that, right, because I've heard this a few times, and maybe as individual product managers, we might forget about this being an option. I think product leaders that are looking, you know, to do things quickly, we're probably a little bit more aware of this. That if we're moving into a new space, we recognize there's a consumer demand there, changes in operations that we need to help the consumer with, opportunity for us. We can look around for who's already starting to move into that space. And maybe that's a partnership opportunity, an acquisition opportunity, a licensing opportunity, something to help us to get speed with the direction that we're going.
Exactly right. And indeed, that's one point of reference about the book of knowledge that we have with PDMA, of course, that it's a good summary of all the different methodologies or different paths, mm-hmm, that you have available as a reminder that if you go into a new space, you understand your context sometimes. Context for me is a phrase is key for me. It's critical, yeah, right now. Because if you don't understand your context, it's really hard to create the right content for that context, right? Mm-hmm. What we call product innovation, whatever you're creating, even a service, you need to understand what the context you're dealing to. And you understand those contexts and what are the consumer's code or cue that help you to define what's the real consumer need in that space, right? Which is interesting. So that's more the first step on that journey from capabilities standpoint. The second one was really understand what is your winning aspiration? And that was the second pillar, part of my homework when I was building the market entry strategy from non-alcohol perspective. What was defining the winning aspiration? What are the strengths that we have as an organization? And what are things we can add value in a different way, taking into consideration the different stakeholders when we have consumers, we have customers, and we have distributors, and we have the company.
Right.
Finding that intersection was part of my homework when I defined the North Star on defining what we want to try to achieve right now. That was the first two steps right now. Now, on the winning aspiration, we realized that Molson Coors as an organization were amazing ecosystem to scale business. Right. And we complement that ecosystem with investment, with elevation, allows us to incubate, but at the same time, combine with the power of scale. You have the combination of both and you create a nice ecosystem to build brands right now. Right. And that was the things of making that partnership work, that you combine the power of both. Right. Now back to the winning aspiration, define what consumers are looking for. And sometimes you realize that consumers are looking more better for you products, things that really add value to you. You want to have a better alternative, right? So since you have any drink with a lot of ingredients that you don't know what other ingredients are, so therefore, what is the value we can bring to the table? And that's where, just to fast forward the story a little bit, we partner with SOA, an energy drink that offer a better alternative to versus what the other energy drink are in the market. So therefore, again, our approach was to bring products that are better for you, for consumers, that offer a unique point of difference versus what exists in the market, and really being choiceful on our brands and our portfolio, because sometimes we have the temptation, let's build a portfolio, 10 brands at the same time.
Right.
Pace yourself.
Yeah.
And we did that as well. So it's a journey. Believe it or not, change management, which is already is already in the PDMA book as well, try in book of knowledge. Pace yourself. Never underestimate when you create a new category, even though you have been there doing business for years. Uh-huh. Sometimes those elements are important right now. It's more repeating. And that's what we call this is history about building a category. This is not a Hollywood movie of 2 hours where at the end everybody's happy. It's just 2 hours. This is a TV series. It's season one, season two.
And that's building on over 233 years of history.
Exactly.
And we overwhelm those stakeholders that you mentioned, right? We overwhelm not just the customers, like, oh, I have too many choices now, but the distributors, the manufacturing organization. We have to figure out how these pieces fit together. On the winning aspiration, I was curious. So as product people, we get excited about bringing value to the customer, right? And we're going to start sharing this vision we have for that and hopefully inspiring others. But from an organizational perspective, you mentioned change, right?
Yeah.
This is causing change in the organization. You're also going to start having, I'll kindly call them the antibodies to innovation, right? Those naysayers are going to say, why are we doing that, right? We're a beer company. We're an alcohol company. Why are we even looking at that space? And that thing that you're making a beer that tastes like this beer, aren't we cannibalizing our own product? There must have been some conversations like that. And just, can you give us a sense of keeping that winning aspiration to keeping the team excited moving forward and also dealing with this organizationally?
That's a good question indeed. Of course, you have those that were wondering, why are we doing this, of course? What happened, which is something that I'm really excited, in 2019 when the organization set the new course of being a beverage company, the organization established a clear winning aspiration as an organization, which is more about premiumizing our portfolio, right? Responding what consumers were looking for. That was the umbrella. In this case, as an organization, you have the beer portfolio, you have other elements in the portfolio. So when we tackle the non-alcohol, okay, if it's about premiumizing the portfolio, what is our interpretation of premiumizing the portfolio from a non-alcohol standpoint to ensure that there is consistency and there is what echo what the company is going to, right? As part of that transformation from brewing company to beverage company. I think the first factor for me when you face those that we're coming with a good intention to ensure that there is no blind spot for us on that journey. So the way that me and my team frame that kind of winning aspiration for non-alcohol, number one, is connected to the premiumization factor. So we define we're always going to go for non-alcohol spaces that are more above premium versus the average price you have in the non-alcohol. For example, we didn't see ourselves on things that are more on the economy segment right now. Doesn't make sense with that vision going above premium perspective, right? So therefore, we went for spaces that have more consumers are willing to pay more. In that case, the energy drink is a one space where consumers are willing to pay more if you offer a good alternative right now. That's one piece, right? Mm-hmm. Back to your question, we face some challenge right now when you have bring that energy. Now, this is the vision, and here's what we're talking about. When we signed the partner with SOA, the organization were really excited on how fast we were moving to that space. When you have a brand we're founded by the joint rock right now, which is SOA, one of the founders behind SOA, and other founders, of course, behind this. When you have that celebrity behind that, you get people excited right now, right? How create, and we were really choiceful about partnering with someone and bringing the first brand that created a momentum and energy behind, right? So that was more way. So, and the other things that we face as a challenge is more the operational components as well. How we make it easier for our organization to really learn about the non-alcohol versus the beer perspective. And we invested a lot of resources on educating our sales organization about the difference between beer and non-alcohol right now, because we are a big organization, of course. And we train them, create online courses about the non-alcohol spaces, about the commercial practice, how's different versus what we are today. And the other factor for me to make it easier that change management is how, instead of creating something new, how we tap into existing process with a small tweak, and we build on the similarities versus the difference right now to make it easier on that integration, right? That was something help us a lot, to be honest, and really be mindful of that right now, right? And that make it easier for the people to get behind. Oh, I see what you mean right now. Of course, as a human being, when we are exposed to something new, even that happened to me, if you don't show me the path, it's going to be, reluctant a little bit. Once we paint the path, this is what exactly we mean. Oh, I see exactly what you mean now. Yeah. Oh, that makes more sense for me. Yeah. And the other factor is the time. If you move in, hey, I'm making a change next week. Oh my God. We tend to panic right now. We were really choiceful about pacing ourselves. That's what I was referring about TV series. Season one was about building foundation. Season two was about building the portfolio. Season four right now, as the non-alcohol team is managing right now, is more about optimizing the execution to become the best in class when it comes to the non-alcohol space.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that because, again, product managers will get excited about the product, bringing value to the consumer. And organizationally, we have to be aware of what does that change mean, or we might find ourselves running into walls that we aren't prepared to break down. And that's just part of the whole picture, right? That's part of the product management responsibilities. And that path you talk about, right? You have to have a clear vision for people so we know where we're going, but also I like using that phrase, the believable first steps, right? We have this path we're going to go down, and here's the first thing we're going to take together that people go, oh, okay, I can see how that will get us, you know, started on this path. Right, that we can now start getting people moving together.
Yeah.
Okay, so I didn't mean to sidetrack you too much, but I wanted to dive into that more.
If you allow me to build on that one,
please.
I use an expression that sometimes we live too much in PowerPoint land. PowerPoint land.
Too many presentations.
Too much presentation in PowerPoint land. We dream, we grow market share,
right.
We achieve aspiration, we build a portfolio like this, right? And the challenge as a product innovator, as a product developers, or product management managers, is to ensure, okay, how we translate that PowerPoint vision into reality.
Right.
And that's what the moment critical for us to be mindful of that process that takes time and how you bring stakeholders to the journey, explain what you try to do, really bring people along the journey to help you execute that with excellence right now, because it's about 50-50 strategy and execution. You need to find the right balance for that one. And something personally that helped me to, and I like to use visual when I try to explain my vision in some way. Mm-hmm. And I articulate for the team at that time with non-alcohol, we're building more a highway right now. We have the highway, you have the cars, and you have the gasoline in this case, the fuel, the cars right now. The first season one was about building the highway. Building the highway means building the foundation. How are we going to get a product from point A to point B? How does the route to market look like? What are the things that we need to be mindful of to really ensure that when we bring the cars, which are the brands on the cars, when they use the highway is good. Because sometimes we launch product waiting that work, and we underestimate the power of the go-to-market or the route-to-market to get it to the consumers right now. Mm-hmm. And that's when sometimes some product fail, because we underestimate that route-to-market or go-to-market right now. That's where we started building the highway first. Mm-hmm. You have the cars, the brands, and the other things that is important. Okay, you have a nice car. You can have a nice Ferrari in amazing highway. If you don't put the right investment behind, that Ferrari is going to stop there.
Right.
That's where we have the fuel or the gasoline, the investment to make happen. And I frame it that way. You have highway, the cars, and the gasoline. And people, oh, I see what you mean. I can see what is your vision right now. And that helped me a lot personally to, in those meetings at the beginning to really set the vision of non-alcohol. And the team that right now is leading the non-alcohol today, they're doing a phenomenal job on really optimizing the execution and really get behind this brand right now and build the momentum where on this season four, season five, I forgot what season they're right now on the journey with what I call a new producer behind this show right now, which is they're doing a phenomenal job to continue driving that execution and maximizing the potential behind this brand.
Okay, very good. So you mentioned the PDMA body of knowledge. You don't know this, that we publish, PDMA publishes a new body of knowledge book every 3 or 4 years or so. I'm one of the three authors on the third edition that should be coming out next year. So we just got it done a month ago, maybe off to Wiley. So we're very happy about
awesome. That. That's great news.
Having that part done now, it's all the revisions. But in there, we talk about different ways to organize a portfolio, right? We have some work that might be supporting what is our current products, right? Making them better. Some work that might be looking at the next, where we're going, the innovation kind of bucket we think of, and we give that different names. Maybe a platform that is going to enable a whole family of products in the future that is getting energy. Lots of different ways to structure a program. This is a brand new portfolio, right? So it's not associated with legacy things.
Yeah.
Did you, I like the highway analogy, right? And thinking about that. But as you were constructing the portfolio, did you think about how to, are there categories in there? Is there some kind of structure to that yet? Or are you thinking about, you know, different products that might satisfy specific kinds of consumer segments or their drinking preferences? I'm just curious about structure.
That's good. So the first step that we did was to, okay, let's understand how the non-alcohol category is right now, as a dimension, right? As I mentioned before, it's close to, that's some time change, 60% of the total beverage is non-alcohol right now, as a whole right now. You have juice, you have water, you have any drink, you have coffee, every day right now on the non-alcohol segment. The first step for us was to understand, okay, our route to market is more efficient when it's more shelf stable.
Right.
It's not called refrigerated. So that caught a certain portion of the market. So we're not going to play on the refrigerated products right now. It need to be shelf stable. So that caught in some way. Perfect. Now in that space, what is the price range that makes for us from an economic perspective okay. right now? That cut another layer from that one. So that allows us to be more laser focused. Okay, this is the space. We need to be a shelf stable, number one. That's this desire perspective. Number two, need to be a certain threshold from price perspective that makes sense for us from an economic standpoint, right? Kind of the business model, you need to have consumers winning, customer winning, and we winning as a company right. when we can add value, right? That was the other factor. Now when we define, okay, those are the categories in that space that make sense for us. Now we'll double click, okay, what are the consumer needs now in those spaces? What consumers were looking for? So you have those consumer needs that we identify, you have refreshing, you have hydration, you have energy, you have wholesome, which are products that really offer an additional benefit for you. For instance, you have more barley milk, for example. You have some milk alternative there on the wholesome. Then we realize, okay, perfect. Those are the consumer needs. Okay, let's put our brain together. What problem are we solving on each of those spaces really help us to really add value? Again, be more strategic and choiceful. So we define energy drink seems to be is critical one right now. Makes sense. Check, is shelf stable, is growing. Consumers are in desire to get more energy. But what was missing there? More healthy, better for you alternative on that space. Okay, let's solve that problem right now. That's put on the parking lot. And so I'm just going to share my experience with the team when we define a portfolio. Sometimes you don't know the answer. You need to go out there.
Right.
And we met with around, I don't know, a lot of founders or brands that were on that space to learn more from them as well, right? And that's where we discover we need to go in this space. Let's find the right partner. And that moment we found SOA. That's one idea. The other one, let me change gears on the wholesome space. We have milk alternative. You know what? I don't know if you know this for sure, that when the prohibition era, Coors family was producing malted milk. Malted milk at that time.
Interesting.
When we check the history, okay, oh, that's something that got my attention right now when I was checking that. Oh, I didn't realize that. I was not aware of that. And we were thinking, hey, what about is there any of the ingredients behind beer that could tap into that space?
Right.
And that's where we create the idea of barley milk. The name of the brand right now is Golden Wind. You can check it on the website right now, which is offer the same value of milk without having the lactose and even more better value from less sugar than regular milk. It's a milk alternative right now. Let me call it that way. And we create the barley milk option, which is right now is available online right now. It's an amazing product that tastes like the milk you have when you're after eating cereal, that taste profile kind of thing. So we create that with that in mind, and it's perfect for coffee. Again, that was an idea that, okay, perfect, makes sense. Molson Coors have the right to play there, because we are the expert on barley.
Right.
We have a good partnership with barley and really create something that can add value there, right?
Interesting.
So again, back to your original question, we identify, okay, where's trends?
Yep.
Take a different angle right now, and we frame the conversation, what are the ingredients behind beer, number one, and that's where we unlock the barley milk option. And the second one, what are the things that we have not extreme, we have the freedom to develop something that could be a disruptive or add value to the category. Because that's the other issue when you have company playing in that category for a long time, you have less willing to take risk sometime because you already have a skin on the game on those category. In this case, we're white canvas, right? We have the freedom to select and have the consumers at the boss and decide for them.
Right.
Okay. Design for them, sorry.
Okay, yeah, so that's interesting. Yeah, so looking at the customer opportunities, market shifts, where you can play, like from your distribution network, so cutting out refrigerated, self-stable, for a product that is already fit. And just looking at those kind of constraints and the customer draw to structure portfolio. Fantastic. Really looking forward to more information on this. We got to dive into the portfolio a little bit. I will be paying a little bit more attention to what Coors is doing for their different products right now. As we have enjoyed innovation quotes on this podcast quite a bit, I ask you to bring one for us and describe what that means in innovation context for you.
I have the pleasure to live in Canada for a while. And when I make the move from Venezuela to Canada, when hockey, of course, is something that is passion in Canada, and Wayne Gretzky, one of the hockey players.
Great.
He has a great one quote that I really like from him was more about he skates where the puck is going, nowhere has been.
Right.
And I like that quote. The reason I like about that quote is always as innovators, we need to think, it's not like driving a car with a rear view, it's how we start looking forward right now, right? Where consumers are going. And the reason I like that quote is that consumers is changing faster than before. And the past, you can learn from the past, but don't anchor yourself on the past.
Right.
try to think on what consumers is going when you combine multiple factors to identify what consumers are going right now. And more than consumers to going to really build the future that you want for your product, for your portfolio, for your company. That's what I like about that quote about a little bit is go where the puck is going.
Right.
Try to do that homework to really help you understand that. And that's something I do every day in some way to keep me grounded in a way. Let's not build on the past. Learn from the past and see what the future and what you can create for the future.
Yeah, it's a wonderful quote. A great quote from the great one.
Yes.
So appreciate that very much. How can listeners find out more just about you, the work that you're doing?
Well, thank you. I think you can find more about me on the LinkedIn profile, okay. Marlon Hernandez, and available there on LinkedIn. You can learn more about my career evolution, my career progression, and of course, I'm going to be continue posting, adding value to the community from innovation perspective. Really excited. You can text me on send me a message on LinkedIn if you want to, and happy to chat. Of course, I'm really passionate about product development and product innovation, so looking forward to any future interaction.
Fantastic. Marlon, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me here.
Great pleasure.
It was a good chat.
And listeners, just as a reminder, you can find the written summary of everything we discussed, including the one-page action guide to help you put into action some immediate takeaways about portfolio management and development. Those resources are at productmasterynow.com/479. Everyone, keep innovating.